Hi, this is Jerry from SharePoint. This episode is part of a series where we check in with past guests to see how they're dealing with the COVID-19 situation. Because we're doing this remotely, there may be some technical glitches as we go along. We hope you'll bear with us as we're committed to bringing you new content for as long as we can. Once it's safe to get back out, we'll return to our regular format. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to SharePoint, where we tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
I'm joined now by Ty Kreis from Hysteria Brewing. Thanks for returning to the show, Ty.
Not a problem, buddy. Glad to be here.
We originally had you on in March, just before all this started. So let's talk about what you're dealing with now. How has COVID-19 affected your business?
I mean, it completely closed our tap room, which is our main source of revenue, which, you know, that really does suck. I mean, it's literally between 80% and 85% of our revenue for the company. That's the thing that pays all the bills, pays employees, you know, everything like that. We got lucky and we're approved for the PPP, but that's getting low. So we're kind of like, oh crap, I hope either another round happens. I mean, we know we're not going to open up anytime soon. Like in Maryland, we're what, phase 3, and we just got to phase 1. And even when they start opening up bars, they're not going to do 100% capacity. So, which for us, we could only seat, you know, 60 people. So, I mean, we're doing okay, especially because of the deliveries and then our the outside distribution with our two distributors. They're really helping out because liquor stores obviously are just selling through beer, liquor, wine, like you wouldn't believe. And mainly because that bars aren't open, so people are buying stuff so they can go home and drink. So we're just lucky enough that we're one of the few smaller-ish breweries that had a canning line, which really helped us out.
Well, you kind of just touched on it, but expand a little bit on the types of specific things that you guys have done to adapt to the situation.
We literally can everything now. Nothing goes in the keg because there's nobody that's open to buy kegs from us. Mm-hmm. So the first issue we had was when we do everything, it's kind of like a snowball effect, which would happen with a lot of different breweries. I mean, I'm speaking for ourselves, but I know a lot of other breweries had this issue, not just guys our size, but way bigger than us. So when you have everything forecasted, hopefully you have everything forecasted and you have everything planned, you know, we've never actually planned anything until recently. We were like, we got this, we're so good. And we had like a certain amount of kegs we're going to keg off, amount of cans we're going to can off, what's staying us at the tap room, what's going for outside distribution with our two distributors, what's going to our sub-distribution for like Washington County and like DC and stuff like that. We had everything mapped out. Took forever. Me, Billy, and Jeff like meticulously like planning everything out. And then it's like, oh, all the bars are shut down. So we're like, okay. So now we have all this product and we can't put it in kegs because, well, we already had some in kegs, but we can't put now the stuff that's dropping in like a week in kegs. So they put it in cans. Well, the problem is we didn't order enough cans or labels for all the excess beer that's going to go into these now. So now we're only able to can off, you know, half of what we thought because we don't have cans. We don't have labels because nothing was ever planned because that was all supposed to go in kegs. So then we don't have any room to make any more beer and put them into tanks because the tanks are still held up with all the stuff that can't be canned or kegged. So then we can't brew. Without tank space, you can't brew. We can't get rid of anything because we don't have the packaging to even do it. So then we started looking and we're like, man, we have a lot of kegs here. So then we started taking kegs and pulling them back from our distributors, which is us buying them back. So now we're spending money to get our own product back because we sold it, but they can't sell it. So why let it sit there? So we started buying things back and then taking, if we have like half kegs, we have, you know, like between, you know, 8 to 12 half kegs on average, then we would actually push that beer back into a bright tank and then can off everything from the bright tank so we could actually just like use all this stuff again. So then we had to, in order for us to start brewing, we had to start kegging everything off, putting in our walk-in, and then once we got the cans, push everything back into the bright and then repackage again. So it's been absolutely crazy. I mean, we're selling out of everything. Like everything's moving, everything is selling. It's just way, way, way more work than we ever anticipated. Plus, even though we're selling everything, you make way more money on a pint sale than you do a four-pack or a six-pack sale inside the taproom too. Like, regardless, you're always going to make more money on a pint. Then another thing is that you can't really do like fun styles. Like, we take pride in the fact we have, you know, 13 taps. One's like an experimental tap, and then the other 12 are, you know, a couple core. And then we try to have like stouts on and like hazies and like Belgians and like the whole entire gambit of beer. And you can't do that now because no one's buying that. No one wants to. There is no such thing as sampling anymore. Before, you could have somebody come in and be like, "Oh, that sounds really interesting. Let me sit down and try." You can't do that. Right. So then we had to turn everything, all of our attention to IPAs and sours, basically. So it's been a crazy, like, just trying to figure out, okay, what's going to stick. So you're throwing everything at the wall again, just to figure it out. So, yeah.
Well, do you think that what you're doing now, that you've kind of got a little bit of a handle on it, do you think that you've got something that's going to help sustain you guys until this quarantine is lifted, or you're going to have to come up with some other ideas? Or
yeah, I mean, the main thing is now storage for us, because we're so used to sending out, you know, all these kegs. And now, since we're canning so many things off, we're running out of storage. We don't have a big walk-in. And so it gets back to there's stuff that gets stuck in tank for longer periods of time than we like to, because we don't have room. So we're just looking for like different avenues to keep things, because we don't want it. We could always can it off and just put it warm, but that's not what we want to do. We want to keep it cool. We always preach, hey, look, we're doing our job. You do your job, and you do your job. And that's us to the wholesaler to the retailer, and the retailer to even the end consumer. If we say keep stuff cold, we mean it. And it starts with us. And so that's why we just keep everything in tank. But keeping everything in tank, you can't brew more beer. Yeah. So that's the thing we're looking at now, is where does this stuff go? Because we have to keep on brewing. So that's what we're working at now. But no, I don't think anybody's gonna last if this continues for another 6 months. You can't. It's not sustainable. So it can get you over a hump and get you through something, but it's not going to be a permanent solution at all. It can't be.
Well, let's tell people how they can help you. Specifically, let people know how they can get a hold of your beer and the different ways that they can.
The easiest way is on. There's two easy ways. If you want to come out, you're more than welcome to come out. We're doing a to-go sale, so you can come in and stop in and pick up beer to go. Or just go to Beer Me. It's at that website, beerme.com/brewery/hysteria. Or just go on beerme.com and you can type in your address, and it gives a whole entire list of the breweries that deliver to your area. But I mean, the downside with delivery is that we only have 5 or 6 full-time employees, and we're trying to brew, package, and then deliver every single day. So sometimes, like, I felt bad that some people are like, well, I ordered mine at noon, and the noon's, well, what am I before noon? The noon's the cutoff time for us. Everybody's different. But for us, a noon's the cutoff time for a same day. And some people are like, well, I'm in Colombia. It's 1 o'clock. Well, I haven't got my stuff yet. And we're like, well, because there's one person delivering, and we just drove all the way to Frederick and had to drop off a 4-pack, and now we're driving back to Columbia to actually finish up. So we're still working out logistics and details and try to get better, but we'll see what happens.
Is it possible that, I know some of the breweries we've talked to have models where it's specific counties on certain days.
That's what we're going to launch, I think. Doesn't matter what day you order, you're only going to get delivered on a certain day. And I know some people want same day delivery, but right, it's starting to get too tough, because we were, last week we had 3 or 4 orders that were on like the Pennsylvania line that were by themselves. So like, we were, no joke, driving an hour to drop off beer to somebody for one stop. And it's like, okay, now we're just starting to get a little crazy here. Like, I had to go all the way down to, we have a PG County, well, we had PG County open, and it was the southernmost tip that PG County I had to go to, and then I had to finish up in Annapolis. And it was an hour and 15-minute drive between the one, just the one, and then 5 in Annapolis. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. So But it's the only way that we're selling things. So like we're willing to do it. But yeah, we're gonna start doing the county by a day just to help out with everybody instead of driving everybody insane.
Yeah, no, mostly you guys, because that's what I was thinking.
I just
got a drop off from Full Tilt, and mm-hmm. they do. I mean, there's not many people coming out to Carroll County.
We do.
So there you go. I completely unaware of that, but you know, you're driving everywhere, but I feel really bad.
Yep.
They do it one day a week. They do it on Tuesdays, and then they have Frederick for one day a week. And then obviously they deliver more frequently to their vicinity of Baltimore County and city.
Right.
But I was wondering if that maybe helps keep you guys sane.
Yeah. So for like us, since we're based in Howard, it's no problem for us to hit Columbia, Ellicott City, you know, every day. But like Carol and like Frederick, our sales rep, Jen, she lives in Mount Airy. So she has no problem to come into the brewery to help with everything, get everything loaded and everything go, and then just hit up Carroll County every day for her because she lives right there. It's no problem. And for me, like I live in Anne Arundel County. I don't mind doing Anne Arundel County every day, but the problem with Anne Arundel County is that it's way bigger than you think. It's just from north to south is a long, long drive. So we're just trying to figure it out. But like starting last week, we started like planning out what days we're going to do and then hopefully announce everything on Monday. So it's been in the back of our minds, yeah, of how to do it. But then that also gives us the opportunity to sell to more counties. Because mm-hmm. right now we're just, you know, just like touching on a few here and there because we're spread out so far. But if we're able to say, okay, we'll do PG and Calvert, we haven't been able to do Calvert. But if we're already doing PG, we're already in the county right above it, and a lot of our customers seem like they're in lower PG. Well, then why not do Calvert? It's right there. Yeah. So doing it that way will help us open up. And like we don't mind driving, but I'll say this: I bought a new truck a month and just over a month ago. It had 8 miles on it, and I'm already at 4,000 in a month. Yeah, average people drive 12,000 miles a year. I've done 4,000 in 1 month. So yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. Well, when we visited in March, you had mentioned that Bullhead Pit Beef was going to go in right next door to you guys. So just curious, during the situation, have that allowed them to get closer to actually finishing construction, or has it held them back? Or
no, that's one of the reasons why I'm in my basement today, is because that where they're doing construction is right next to my little cubicle. So yeah, it's too loud. Plus the air compressor for all the canning that we're doing is literally right there. So, but yeah, they're moving along. They have their walk-ins are installed, their vents are installed. Pretty much all the kitchen stuff is installed, and now it's just I'm pretty sure that all the plumbing and everything is done, because I haven't seen these guys in about 2 weeks, and all the piping is done for like the gas and plumbing. I know they were working electrical last week. Haven't seen them this week, so they might be done that too. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're looking on at a final inspections. But he's also doing some other stuff at other places as well, like in downtown Baltimore. So I know that last week they were doing stuff there. So yeah, there's like two different spots that he's working on, but the main one, that the home location, is near us, like an our spot. But as soon as everything's ready to go, I mean, he's probably going to open up for a to-go food too, which hopefully isn't too far away, because it looks nice. Like it's just like, you know, like cosmetics at this point from what we can see. I mean, the guys are in all the time, so but it's looking good.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because when when we came in and shot some of that there, I mean, you know, bare bones constructions and skeletons and stuff, but those guys were in and out and working, and I was like, man, if they're still working during this, I don't know what the benefit of it is per se, but they get done and they're like, you know, you said.
Yeah. I mean, the walk-ins are up and running. Like, we opened up the other day because Larry, the owner of a Bullhead, came by, and he's like, oh man. And he's like, all the electrical is running. I was like, dude, that thing is turned on and it's freezing cold. And so we like walked in, we were like, I mean, it's like 20 degrees in there. It was freezing. And we're like, all right, this is cool. And they're way bigger than we thought they were going to be. So they, like, if our loading dock is like, let's say our loading dock is this big, these things, like, if they come, yeah, they cut off a little bit. We were like, we didn't know they're gonna be that wide. Even Larry was like, I thought they're gonna be okay. So I heard, like, if it was any bigger, we wouldn't be able to do any business. because our lifeline, the actual living dock, would have been completely cut off. We were just like, crap, that's way more than we thought. But it's just small enough to allow us to do deliveries and like as far as like all of our stuff, like to our outside distro and getting all our stuff, like the farmer picking up everything and then our grains and all that stuff coming in, but barely.
He's your neighbor, and he's, if it's that cold over there in the walk-in, maybe you got a little extra storage space for your beers to stay cold. You say, hey, buddy,
I haven't said something to him. I was kidding with him. I'm like, we're going to have to use these right now. You're not using them, but yeah. At some point, but for us, we're going to have to get a walk-in. Another one, a bigger one. We're actually looking at getting more fermenters, like two more 40s that we're looking at doing. Because for some reason, 1996, our West Coast IPA, I find it delicious, but it is selling like crazy. We have sent 100 cases to our one distributor on a Monday, and they texted me Tuesday morning and said they were sold out.
Wow.
Yeah. We're just like, all right, so we're brewing it like crazy, but we already have orders for, and then on Friday they're picking up another 200 cases of what you want and another 200 cases of 96 already, and that was a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago when they, so we're just, yeah, so we're selling like crazy, but just nowhere to put anything, and we also have another distributor that wants beer. And we need beer. So we're like, we're going to have to get another tank now, which sounds like a good problem, but it's like, where does it go? Yeah, exactly. We're like, you got to be kidding me. So
you got to take that furniture out of the back room of the cage. And
dude, that stuff right now is literally, if you came in now, it is nothing but like hundreds of thousands of cans back there. Like it's totally storage. Like when we open back up, it's not going to be there anymore. It's physically no way where for us to put anything. So even while under quarantine or like everything closing down, we've actually expanded and grown mainly because of the package and the cans, mm-hmm. which is a good thing, but yeah, we got to buy new things and we're just like, what the F, like, this is crazy.
During Sofa Sippin', the virtual mm-hmm. Maryland Craft Beer Festival sponsored by the Brewers Association of Maryland, you were part of a panel on IPAs, and mm-hmm. in that session, you threw out the idea of doing a collab between you guys and True Respite and Oliver's Brewing. So has there been any further discussion on that project since then?
Yeah. Looking around 4th of July-ish, it'll be out. Okay. So it'll be what the concept of this is that we're going to showcase each of breweries, a nuance and like water profile and stuff like that. So basically it's the exact same base and it's a very, very, very simple, a base is basically it's either two or Pilsner, maybe it's Pilsner and a flaked oats, and that's it. And then in the whirlpool, it's a cashmere hops, and then everything else after that, water profile and a dry hops is completely up to the brewery. So you have the exact same base recipe, and then a drastically different beer based on how we dry hop compared to the guys at True Respite, but the guys at Oliver. And stuff like that. And then each of us will have our own artwork. So we're all going to brew it. So mm-hmm. all three locations will be brewed and then released around hopefully the exact same time with all three different artwork. So it'll be our version of their version. Each one of us will have that. So it's really cool.
That's cool. You guys got a name for it yet?
Dream Team. Yeah, exactly. Like they're all like everybody's making fun of it, and so we were like, let's just keep the name Dream Team since it was just like a stupid joke that was running on the
that's
on the
true.
Thing anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So. Now that you bring it up, I remember that because there was discussion about whether you guys are going to wear basketball shorts.
And yeah, all the yeah. Other. And now Chris Sands wanted it to be a Dream Team plus tie, and I'm like, yeah. Why me? So
let me segue that into you talk about what's coming up for you guys, new beers, new mm-hmm. releases. I know you got a bunch of new stuff you've been teasing.
We are going to be releasing Trash Panda again because that's everybody's been drinking that like crazy. It's actually insane. We've brewed this more in the past month and a half than we literally have in 2 years, which is really cool. Space Panda, which is Trash Panda, and then when everything's said and done, then we dry hop it with a crap ton of Galaxy hops. That's one of my favorite variants that we do. Like I love that beer. We have Effia, which is a it says double IPA on the label, but it's actually around 10.5%, almost 11%. So it's going to be more of a triple IPA, but that's double IPA, whatever. But it's made with all Mosaic hops, and it's really cool. Like, I brewed this beer a few years ago at home, and then I told Billy, I was like, look, man, it really did turn out good at home, but I want you to do your own thing. Just take a look at my recipe, see what you think. And he looked at it, and he's like, no, this is cool. Like, let's use this. And then he like tweaked it and did his whole Billy thing to it, which, I mean, Billy's awesome. Like, I say Billy sucks all the time, but Billy is legit. Like, he's a godsend. But he had some fun with it, and we are on dry hop number 2 as of the other day. It's getting dry hopped a lot. It's going to have in the dry hop, I think, around 66 pounds, at least 66 pounds of a mosaic. And that's just in the dry hop. And we tried the other day, and we were both like, dude, this tastes like freaking pineapple juice, and it's almost 11%. So we're really excited about F Yeah. And then we have one that's called Occupational Hazard Pay. Mm-hmm. And we're just making fun of, you know, us being essential, which is cool, but I mean, we're just guys who are degenerates that like to drink on the job, and we're considered essential. We're like, all right, so let's do Occupational Hazard Pay. So basically, we just had the artists do mock-ups and put everybody that's still working at the brewery, just put them on the label. And so we're trying to have fun with that. And it's a Belgian Golden Strong. So think Monasterium without the sour or the cherry, just a straight up. It says 8.6 in the label. It got up 8.8, 8.9, right around there. So it's a little bit bigger than what the label says, but not by much at all. But that thing, we just tried it the other day because we just started crashing it. And that thing goes down really, really, really easy. Like, it's kind of dangerous, but in a really good way. But the whole point is, hey, we're stuck at home. Everybody's drinking anyway. Here's something strong just to have fun with that's easy to drink. So that's what that guy is. So, you know, like, all these beers come out, we're really excited about. And then we have a dry hop sour that we're doing. And then a Baltimore Chop is in the process, but that one just takes forever because it's got a lot to it. So, and then we have like a couple fruited sours that are in the works, just need tank space right now. So once these beers clear up, then we have to do Dream Team right away. Well, I guess not right away, but right away we have to do Dream Team. So we'll have Dream Team, we'll have Baltimore Chop, we'll have a dry hop sour, and then we'll have probably a fruited sour after that coming out.
Sounds good. Well, we've talked to a few other people. I know that Corey mentioned it specifically at Manor Hill and a few others, that if you guys can keep new beers rotating out, that's really helped them as far as people keep staying interested and they're coming back and repeating new. Yep. So
that's the thing too. Like, it does help with sales in the tap room, but our distribution sales need to have the core, which is what you want, Tipping Point in 1996. And we're selling those at, it's an insane rate that we're actually selling some of like those three year beers at. Like, it's, I mean, it's crazy. So we're looking at, like, maybe instead of 5 tanks full of all the rare stuff, we're going to have to take one or two of them and then put the core in there just to keep up with demand. It's not just our distributors buying it. It's people coming into the brewery buying the beer. I mean, 1996, what you want, sell like it's like water in a desert. Like, it's like, how the F do, I don't get it. Like, I'm glad, but those beers aren't the fastest turnaround because they're all IPAs. So when you have IPAs, you have to let them condition, you have to dry hop, you have to crash them, you have to wait until all the hops settle out, and we don't filter anything. There's no way for us to speed that stuff up because we don't filter. And we purposely don't filter because when you filter, you strip out all the stuff you're putting in. So yeah, so we're at a crossroads of, do we have to pull back from some of the exciting stuff just by like one or two? Like, we can still release, you know, 2-3 beers a month that are fun, but we got to focus on other things too. So it's one of those things that we're discussing. We're just trying to figure out the best way to get everything done and out and keep everything afloat.
Well, Ty, I want to thank you for your time.
No problem, buddy.
I hope that you and everybody at Asteria stay healthy and busy.
Thank
Maybe
you.
Not so many roads, ways on the road. We got to figure out how to not worry about
it. Yeah, I got to figure this out.
But I'm definitely looking forward to a time in the near future when you and I can share a pint again in person.
Definitely, buddy. Can't wait.
Now more than ever, it's important for you to drink and support local. Buy beer, merchandise, gift cards, even just tips that can be given to workers to help them get through. If we all do our small part, we can get through this, and our favorite breweries will be waiting for us on the other side, where we'll be able to share a pint in person. Until then, thanks for listening.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint. Show notes for this episode are available at sharepintpodcast.com. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin MacLeod, and can be found online at incompetech.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Holla. Prost.